Live from New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. This will be an empowering hour. I'm broadcasting live as well as video streaming live from our studios in New York City. If you'd like to watch the program, you can go to GaryNull.com. Today, the latest on health and healing. For men, if you've had problems with erectile dysfunction, before you turn to one of the popular and frequently dangerous commercial drugs, I'll give you a natural way of helping yourself overcome it. Also today, when children are kinder, they're more popular. I'm going to talk a lot about diabetes and how we can overcome diabetes. New information on that. Then from an extended discussion today on the environment, I read a movie review about a new film called Promised Land with Matt Damon. And it's about where he goes in to become a contractor for the major gas hydrofracking companies. He buys up farmland, convincing local farmers in their best interest to sell to him. They'll make a lot of money, no problems, no downside. And then throughout the film, when he starts seeing another point of view, he changes. Well, he was given a savage review by Kyle Smith, but then Kyle Smith went on to offer his own commentary about gas hydrofracking. I'm going to be offering a response to Mr. Smith, and hopefully someone in this audience will share it with him. This will be for everyone who has been led to believe that gas hydrofracking is not the problem we've been led to believe. It's the future. It's necessary. It can help break our dependence upon, Arabian oil. There is a counterpoint. I will share that. Also today, I will share a commentary from Naomi Wolf from The Guardian on how the FBI coordinated their crackdown on Occupy using Homeland Security and major banks on Wall Street. That is interesting, especially when you put it in a context I was thinking about this morning. How many of the people I interviewed in my 28 trips to Wall Street and the Occupy movement were going to vote for Obama because they believed that he would help move their agenda forward? All right? Well, it was President Obama who authorized, with his Homeland Security Director, Mr. Napolitano, and the FBI, that you be now labeled as terrorist. So you got your president. I just don't think you realized what else you were getting. And for those who are not aware of what they got when they voted for Obama, as including all everyone over at The Nation magazine promoting him, I'm going to offer a look back, only using the actual officially recognized documents of what Mr. Obama and his administration have done for the people, for the children, for the middle class, for the environmental movement, for senior citizens, for the health community. I just heard Michael Moore on a program promoting why he was opposed to Obamacare, but how good it was. So for those of you who have accepted this, I'll share a counterpoint of view. We have a lot to do, and I will get to it. I have an awful lot lined up, and I will be taking a few minutes today, as I do once a year on this day, to look back at what has been achieved by those of us, and myself specifically, with our own agendas and what we hope to achieve in the new year. At that time, if you would like to call in and share what your agendas are, what you've achieved, what you're looking to do that you wouldn't have otherwise, please feel free to do that on our TalkBack segment. That number for TalkBack is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Let's begin. You've seen the ads. a man on, you know, a man on a horse, a man in a boat, a man driving some horses in a trailer and gets stuck in the mud. But not to worry, these men are at a certain age, they say, when they've learned some things about life. And then they immediately overcome the problem they're in, and then they go home, and the idea is, well, now they know how to overcome their erectile dysfunction, they'll take a chemically induced pill. Here's what you could be doing. First and foremost, understand that a great deal of erectile dysfunction may just have to do with boredom. Lack of imagination, lack of excitement, lack of passion. Much like someone you call them in the evening and say, want to go to a movie? No. Why not? I don't know. I'm watching television. But once you hit a certain button and you say you want to do something, and if it excites the person, suddenly they have all the energy and enthusiasm in the world. I believe that we have not been able in our society to have open and honest discussions about how to sustain a healthy, vibrant, creative, safe, joyful sex life with our partners. And I believe that until we can do that, we're missing out on one of life's great possibilities, because that's a primal energy. Sharing that, exchanging that energy, I think is just essential. But like a lot of things we do, it gets boring quickly, even though that's probably what initially gave us a sense of looking in the direction of who we were interested in. It's the mind. 95% of all of sexual enjoyment happens in the mind. 5% is physical. But for those who have something more serious, where it's not in the mind, where the mind's fine, but they simply can't do it, it's more often than not because of a lack of circulation. That's serious. That can mean that any one of dozens of different heart-related, circulatory-related problems exist that may not be diagnosed. Intermittent claudication, atherosclerosis, arterial sclerosis, clogging of the epithelial tissue, blockage of the carotid artery, a lack of oxygen in the body, all of these contribute. So what can we do? Well, exercising, going on a detox for at least 3 months, and it takes 3 months every day just to begin a healthy detox. I see the greatest benefit in people I help with detoxing at about 24 to 36 months. Now, starting and being intensive in the beginning and knowing that you're going to have to sustain this is the challenge. But once you get the body detoxed, you get the heavy metals out, lead, cadmium, mercury, aluminum, through natural chelation, the more chlorophyll you take into the diet, the healthier blood, the more these heavy metals are trapped and taken out. Then oxygenating your tissue, very important. Trimethylglycine, TMG, that's great for lowering the dangerous inflammatory marker known as homocysteine. Elevated homocysteine increases your risk of a heart attack, a stroke, or cancer. 2,000 milligrams a day, 1,000 in the morning, 1,000 in the afternoon, help bring down your homocysteine. But trimethylglycine is also an oxygen promoter in the blood. Dimethylglycine, DMG, that promotes oxygenation in the blood. That's why I recommend it for runners, because right in the middle of a run, you want to be able to have more oxygen. NADH, very important for creating additional energy in the form of adenosine triphosphate. That helps. Coenzyme Q10 helps. Tocotrienols, vitamin E, mixed tocopherols, D-ribose. These are all positive ways of increasing circulation. But then you have some superstars, ones that do more than anything else. And the number one way of helping maintain an erection or getting an erection is L-arginine. L-arginine is extremely important as a promoter of better circulation in nitric oxide, which is what a lot of the other synthetic chemicals do. But then you have Chrysin, C-H-R-Y-S-I-N. generally about 1,500 milligrams a day. I would also add in bioperine, B-I-O-P-E-R-I-N-E, which is a form of black pepper. Yeah. So historically, in these old wives' tales and folklore, that having oysters with black pepper enhanced virility, they were actually correct. They didn't know the chemistry, but they knew something worked, and it does. But in southern climates, they use what is called Muira, M-U-I-R-A, Puama, P-U-A-M-A. Now, Muira Puama, at about 100 milligrams, has been used all over South America, also in Peru and in the Andes, for centuries as an aphrodisiac. Nettle root is important, generally in the neighborhood of 200 milligrams. Ginger root at 100 milligrams, and then maca. You'll see maca is a powder in all the health food stores, M-A-C-A. Now, this works also for men and women, and then zinc. So if you have that, plus a chemical, natural chemical, that goes from the brain to the reproductive system, and you use choline or acetylcholine at 1,000 milligrams, that would be the best possible approach to helping overcome erectile dysfunction. We have a lot of bullies out there, but we have far, far, far more non-bullies. We have a lot of children in America who are kind and gentle. This is the latest from the University of California at Riverside, and it's published in PLOS One, the peer-reviewed journal, and it says, performing deliberate acts of kindness makes preteen children more popular with their peers. And they worked on acts of kindness over a four-week period, and they assigned children in their classroom to acts of kindness. And they found that when kids did things that for others, that they were more popular. For example, the kid that said that they gave their mom a hug because she was stressed on her job. Everyone resonates with that because we all love our mothers. And the mother is sacred in our life. She is the first goddess and that we meet. She is the exemplar of all things that are perfect to us when we are young. If she is a spiritual and moral and ethical and balanced and joyful and creative person, then we are given all those attributes. Not all mothers are that way, and hence some children's experience is not as positive. So if we haven't had the positive experience, then by just going through acts of kindness towards others, it will make a difference in how you feel about yourself, but also others will perceive you different. And that's important. Even those children who cleaned up common spaces, that makes a difference also. Are bacteria making you hungry? Now, we know that bacteria, the good bacteria, the probiotics that we should have every day, I suggest between 5 and 20 billion, which is about a teaspoon, are essential for maintaining a healthy immune system. But when you eat sugar, and you have coffee and soft drinks, when you have fried foods, when you have antibiotics, you destroy the good bacteria and allow proliferation of the bad bacteria. One of the things that the good bacteria does, it helps turn off inflammation in the gut. But another thing that it does, according to the latest study in the Journal of Bacteriology, research done at the University of Rouen in France, is it helps to maintain the neuroendocrine hormones that it recognizes, which in turn impacts our hunger. And that is really important. So if you have good bacteria, you are going to be less hungry. So you're not going to overeat. Irregular sleep, which is epidemic in America, increases fat around your organs. This is from researchers at Wake Forest School of Medicine. And here's what they say. From Susan Patterson, Natural Society. Sleep, quote, is a vital element not only for surviving, but also thriving. New research shows that irregular sleep patterns can lead to unhealthy fat deposits around your vital organs. This dangerous fat accumulates around the middle region of the body and can be life-threatening. In this study, a clear association was made between an increase in visceral fat, that's the fat around the organs, and a lack of sleep for those individuals. And what's more, researchers noticed that Hispanic men and black women showed the strongest association between lack of sleep and the increase in abdominal fat. The same study that found that too little sleep, 5 hours or less, was detrimental to health also found that getting over 8 hours is also increasing visceral fat. And so here are my suggestions on this. Went to a movie late last night because I was counseling. I can't tell you how many people I counseled yesterday. It was just nonstop, all day. And a lot of them from parents had just discovered their kid was on methamphetamines and then heroin for over a year living in their house. Didn't notice it. In crisis, what to do? To the person that was just looked like they were one step away from full-blown flu. Today, when I ask them, let me know in the morning how this worked overnight, every single person that used this was better today, feeling terrific. You start off with celery juice with grapefruit, the whole skin, lemon, the whole skin, the whole fruit, and 2 tablespoons of manuka honey. You put in 3-inch piece of ginger, 1 whole sweet onion, 1 whole bulb of garlic. It's 32 ounces. You spike it with vitamin C or up till diarrhea, and you may get diarrhea. But I'd rather have someone get a little diarrhea that will go away in an hour than not to reach bowel tolerance. And you take that, not all at once. You take it along with green tea, non-caffeinated green tea, about 1,000 milligrams, and you take that a little bit every hour so your body can handle it. You put in 20 drops of Podiarco, 20 drops of Echinacea, and 20 drops of colloidal silver, 1,000 milligrams of olive leaf extract. It kills everything. Everything in your throat, your nasal passages, your intestine. Every single person that I spoke with, that I counseled yesterday, who were coming down with cold and flu, today, they got out of that. But now, think of the people who, and at late, I think it was almost 11 o'clock, I decided to go out and catch a film just to get some, rebalance my day a little bit. And everyone in the theater was eating something. And I'm wondering, all right, this movie's going to get out around 1:30. It's a long movie, almost 3 hours. They're going to have all that in their body. And it just occurred to me, you know, as I'm watching all these people before the movie started, how many people, if they weren't in a movie theater, they'd be at home eating, even if it was 2 or 3 hours after dinner, this habit of going back and getting something else, even when food's still in the stomach. So one way to get a better night's sleep, don't eat within 3 hours of going to bed. Because if you eat anything that has sugar in it, including a pasta or bread, potato chips or french fries, pizza, the carbohydrate is going to break down into polysaccharides. That's going to automatically raise your blood sugar. That would be like you going into your garage in your car, turning off the engine, and then turning it back on again and starting to put your foot on the brake and your foot on the gas and just revving your car and revving your car. That's what happens when you lay down in bed, but you have food in your stomach undigested and you have simple carbohydrate in your stomach undigested. It will raise your blood sugar. So it's not, are you not going to get a good night's sleep? You absolutely will not, because your biochemistry is being told, anabolic, time to wake up, I'm giving you energy. And yet your body is saying catabolic, recover, detox, cleanse, and repair. You throw the body into a duality biochemically. So if you need anything, take some cold water and add the juice of a lemon. That will kill your appetite at night. Then make sure you're sleeping in complete darkness. If you have light outside or in the room, put on one of the night shades over your eyes. Third, put in earplugs so that there's no background noise. And fourth, don't drink anything within an hour going to bed because your bladder's going to fill and there's an automatic response when the bladder is about 3/4 full to empty it. So this way, you can get through the night. And then if you need a little extra help, 5-hydroxytryptophan or melatonin. Important, the Times of India has a wonderful article today on what to do if you have diabetes and how you can reverse diabetes. And they were looking at studies from the British Heart Foundation and other places, quote, longer sleep hours lowers diabetes risk in teenagers. I'll quote this. High levels of insulin resistance can lead to the development of diabetes. This is from the University of Pittsburgh. And we found that if teenagers get less than sleep they require, they're going to have impaired insulin resistance. But if they get the right amount of sleep, they can improve insulin resistance. Now, mind you, this audience knows that insulin resistance is a set of metabolic dysfunctions linked with or contributing to a range of serious heart and health conditions, including diabetes and metabolic syndrome and obesity. Also, crusty food worsens diabetes-linked heart problems. So avoid being tempted by crusty bits, and you'll find on a grilled hamburger, especially if you're diabetic, you're at a higher risk of heart disease. Quote, we see evidence of cooking methods that create a crust. Think of the crispy borders of meats prepared at very high temperatures, produce advanced glycation end products. This is from a Dr. Novotsky at the University of Illinois, professor of nutrition. These advanced glycation end products associated with plaque formation, the kind we see in cardiovascular disease, end quote. Father, remember I said, imagine taking a plump, moist chicken, put it in an oven for 2 hours, take it out, it's crisp and brown. That's glycation. That's what happens in our body to our cells when we eat animal proteins and sugars. So beans are also very important, and Americans don't eat enough beans. One way that you can get to like beans is first buy, at least initially, as a first step. Ideally, you should buy them in bulk because they don't go bad. And don't worry about the mealybugs. Everyone's going to find mealybugs. All you do when you get mealybugs is you just put the bag with the bugs in a freezer for overnight, take them out, all the bugs are dead. And they're not going to be harmful. And anytime you eat beans or grains, you should wash them. And then if you wash them in a colander and just put them in a cooking pot, stainless steel ideally, and as the water rises and you agitate your brown rice, just take your finger and just stir it around the brown rice. Any of the remaining mealybugs will just float to the top, in which case you just scoop them off, throw them away. I've actually seen people throw great organic grains away. Oh, my goodness, there's a bean in there. Must be bad. No, it's not. It's not. They're there. Not a problem. In any case, but for this purpose, for those of you who may get gaseous after having beans, you don't know what to do with them, you think they taste tasteless, get the canned beans because the process of canning the bean has already neutralized the vast majority of gas-producing acids in it. Let's say you take a combination. Chickpeas, garbanzo beans, and pinto beans. That's a great combination. And you open the can and you put them in a colander and you rinse them and then throw them into a blender. Now, why don't you throw in, let's say, 5 tablespoons of lemon juice and some black pepper, some cayenne pepper, a little bit of Himalayan pink sea salt, and then throw in some red onion and I would say some arugula, maybe a cup of arugula, and you blend it. What you're going to have is a really thick, rich pate. And you could also throw in either olive oil or macadamia nut oil or coconut oil. And that even gives more of a smooth texture. Now, because you have the lemon juice in there, that'll stay for a week in the fridge, 2 weeks. Keep it sealed. Then use that to put in on top of your brown rice or put that on top of a salad. That's one way to get beans into your diet that are far more interesting and tasty. Or you could do something like taking sweet potatoes or yams or pumpkin, and after you steam it and after you have your beans in there, throw that in too. The combination of a sweet potato with beans makes the most delicious pate you could ever imagine. Everybody likes it. And for mothers, you could take that and put that on to, let's say, a plate with some vegetables. And the best way of getting them to eat the vegetables is take asparagus, broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, all cruciferous, all anti-cancer. Remember, they help protect your body. That's why you take your cruciferous vegetables. But steam that for just 5 minutes. It will not destroy any nutrients. It actually liberates the nutrients. Those who only eat raw, unfortunately and unwisely, assume that everything they eat that's raw is good. It's not. And everything that they put in their body would be digested. Far from the case. You actually increase the nutrient bioavailability by doing this. That makes it taste tastier. Now, so beans are up there, and they even have a statement here from this scientific study about how, quote, asparagus could be a powerful new culinary weapon to fight against diabetes. Scientists found that regular intake of the increasingly popular vegetable keeps blood sugar levels under control and boosts the body's production of insulin, the hormone that helps to absorb glucose. So that's good. So let's do exercise and let's get it right. I'm Gary Knoll. We're halfway through our program. I want to bring you up on the latest on health and nutrition issues. You've got that. Now in a moment, we're going on to some other issues, including time for you to think about what you've done this year to engage on social issues where previously you had not, or what you're going to be doing in the new year to engage in social issues where maybe otherwise you would not have. And I'll take on the issue of the environment in a moment. Please stay with us.
Girl, try to remember when we didn't have no shoes. We stuck together, just me and you. It took a long give it all.
I'd like to welcome you all. I'm Gary Knoll, broadcasting, video streaming live from our studios in New York City, and we welcome you. This coming Saturday, I'm going to be beginning a three-month brand-new health support group. I'm going to be here for the first two meetings. They'll be every Saturday. I'm limiting the number of people, and this is going to be filmed, the entire thing. It came to me when a person stopped me on the street last week and said, Gary, I've been listening to you for a long time. I live up on 136th Street in Harlem. I've come to your lectures, but though I have the knowledge of what to do, I'm hooked on soul food, and I'm not alone. So many of the people I know in the African-American community are also hooked on soul food. What can you do to help? And I was thinking about that. And I'm thinking, why don't we do a whole historical review from the plantations and slavery? How did we actually evolve soul foods? Where did it come from? What impact has it had going clear up through the 1940s and 50s and the Chicken Bone Express and the box shoe box with the hard-boiled egg and the fried chicken, the salt and pepper, and the muffin that was brought up on the trains and the buses? And how people through all educational and of our society, all classes, still eat within the African community soul food. Is there a way that we can take the taste, the mouthfeel of unhealthy soul food and make it healthy? The answer is yes. So the idea is, let's get people healthy. Change them. Diabetes, high blood pressure, cholesterol, overweight, fatigue, arthritis, pain. And let's see if we can't undo that by undoing the soul food diet and replacing it with a really healthy diet, but also learning how to cook. So I'm going to also take people into the kitchen. I'm going to show them, you bring me your favorite. And on that day, on that Saturday, I'll have people bring me whatever soul food they like. And I'll show you how to make something that's completely healthy, 100% organic and delicious, that will replace it. And then if we can start and show that we can be successful with the group, then we can take that message into other areas of the United States. Because right now, the African-American community, it is really under siege with its health. African-American women have one of the lowest life expectancies in the United States. So that new health support group begins this Saturday. It's limited. It's 3 months. We're going to work every Saturday. It'll be about 2 hours long. I will be filming the entire thing. Call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065 if you'd like to join us. Now, because we're being heard right now on our sister station, WPFW in Washington, D.C., it would be worth it for some of you to come up on Saturday. And first of all, have a wonderful day in Manhattan and have a wonderful opportunity on the Upper West Side of where there's Lincoln Center and the great parks, and just make a day of it. It could help a lot of people with the support they need to get over the hump. So it's a soul food health support group. Starts this Saturday, limited room, and every one of the 47 health support groups I've done in the last 30 years have been packed. This will be packed. So give a call now, 877-627-5065. It is only, I repeat, it is only for people who are on or have been on and are sick because of soul food. All right? In the last year, before I go to my commentary and then open it up for your calls, which I will in a few moments, here are the things that I accomplished in the last year and why it's important to use these as tools for social change moving into the new year. In the way of films, feature films, I've never in my career produced as many feature films as I have in the last year. The War on Health, American Veterans Betrayed and Forgotten, Seeds of Death, Ozone, De-Stress Naturally, Chew on This, which has not been released yet, Arthritis, which has not been released yet, The Joy of Juicing, which has not been released yet, but are done. Each and every one of these is meant to help people see what choices they can make. I have interviewed for these films over 66 of Americans of unique background, the height of their field, to give that outside credibility to the message. And you also see the people in the films who have made differences. Books. I have written a new book on cancer, not released yet. Arthritis, about to. A new gourmet vegan cookbook, about to. A Joy Juicing, out this week, and Reversing Brain Aging, that'll be out in about 4 months. It's done. I have an additional 10 for next year. Innovations, new things. I created some new things, pain stuff, cruciferous stuff, Muscle Plus, Cocoa Magic Bars. Articles, very definitive, original, in-depth investigative reporting articles, over 30, the most I've ever done in 1 year. Vaccines, GMOs, sugar, AIDS, nuclear, the nuclear energy. Also, demonstrations, leading demonstrations and helping with causes on GMOs, nuclear, vaccines around the United States. In Washington, D.C., in front of the White House, and Prospect Park, and on Riverside Drive, and Wall Street, downtown, uptown, and Indian Point, in Los Angeles. So it was a very important year for helping to be out there in the front lines, demonstrating against things that we believe are not in the public interest. Helping to feed the homeless and continuing to help with the people in Florida, providing sleeping bags and food to church groups in Florida and the community where I live, where organic foods are given to help thousands of individuals. Only competed in 2 state championships, got 2 golds. This was the least racing I've done in my entire adult life this year, simply because being on the road and filming every day, driving a car by myself, there just wasn't the time for the training or the championships. This year, I'll be back into about 12 national championships. Also, traveling tens of thousands of miles, broadcasting over 780 different programs, 17 original investigative reports for those programs, 45 separate lectures, 2 major health support groups, including one that the results haven't been released yet. They'll be released in another 10 days, where we were able to, the first time ever, reverse with lifestyle and behavior arthritis in a group that had had arthritis for at least 7 years each. Without it improving, we're able to reverse it. To investigations, creating over 22 new programs, Progressive Radio Network, and 2 major detoxes. And what you haven't seen yet is quietly filming half-hour television segments for a health program. Normally you do 6 or you do 13. I'm now up to 250, going to 300 before it's even syndicated in the near future. Plus enjoying the culture of the great city of New York, over 40 Broadway plays and countless movies. My favorite movie of the year still is A Beast of the Southern Wild, a disturbing film, one that will depress you, but one that is necessary to see because it shows the truth of how we die at the end of our lives, even with those that care about us around us, is Amour. So that's just some of what was done this year. And I believe that because of the number of people, just the other day, Progressive Radio Network had 21 million search engine hits in 1 day. So that shows that people are listening and coming together. In the new year, my energy is going to be focused on helping groups at the grassroots level to overcome our lack of national awareness of genetically engineered foods and to get people on board. To challenge the veracity of vaccines, I'll be having documentaries in the next year on vaccines, on the psychiatric and mental health field, on AIDS, and on poverty. And that will be not just a feature film on poverty, but a whole series. My goal is to have the Veterans Village, an Artisans Village, a Socrates Village, an Activist Village, and Homesteading Project Village completed in the next 3 months. It's been a 5-year project. It's now almost done. Helping people understand what they should do about making positive movement towards being more sustainable and around more progressive-minded, positive people in their lives, showing them what we can do, not just to help overcome the limitations, but work with others. I believe that this will be the first year where we really come to grips with how bad the environment is, and that we cannot wait for any local, state, or national government to protect us, to look out for our best interest. They don't have that. Even if individuals certainly do, the leaders don't. They are completely aligned with the corporate interest that are in diametrically opposite position from our interest. So they're not going to protect us from the next Hurricane Sandy to Category 2, 3, 4, 5. They're not going to stop the heat waves. They're not going to stop the water from pouring where it shouldn't and being drought-ridden where it needs water, and forest fires are going to continue. We're going to get the worst of the worst. So it's not will we have natural disasters. It's just will we as individuals be prepared for them? And if we're smart, we will be. If we're not, we won't be. That's the new year. I'm hopeful, it is my absolute sincere hope, that some of the non-commercial radio stations that we're on and support and raise money for, finally, for the very first time in at least 12 years, put the listener's interest ahead of your own job and security. If you have the courage to make hard choices, knowing full well that every single one of these stations are polarized, they're in death throes. They're all on life support. Old audiences, core audiences, and no one young. If they can't understand that just going to work every day and doing more of the same is not going to help it, then it is inevitable that there'll be radical changes. Some stations will probably lose their position on the dial. Others will lose their programming. It'll be centralized. That's what I predict. I have no guarantee on this. But I would like to see the management, and I certainly know the management at WPFW, is up to the challenge. John Hughes is. I'd like to encourage the other managers, the other stations. Make hard choices. You got to have an outstanding program that is essential to people's well-being, not just good entertainment. Good entertainment, you can put on the archives. Essential programming, you got to put on the air. And then reach out to a lot of diverse people that have not been listening because they haven't been programmed for. That's my hope for the new year, to see a more vital, healthy, and dynamic way of doing it. Now to the statement of Kyle Smith. I'll quote him and then I'll respond to him. Since the release of the anti-fracking documentary Gasline in 2010, Hollywood's been sounding the alarm about the process. A problem with its approach, Middle America seems to like harvesting energy and creating jobs and is slightly less naive about the costs and benefits than Matt Damon. In their movie Promised Land, Damien is an evil gas company show who moves into a small rural community to buy up drilling rights from dull-witted townfolk. But a concerned citizen, Hal Holbrook, speaks up and tells a town meeting fracking is responsible for a host of maladies such as contaminated drinking water. Later in the film, an environmentalist explains fracking to schoolchildren by mixing up a bag full of household cleaning products into a toxic brown sludge and then pouring it all over a model of a family farm as the children cry, ooh. Holbrook's character adds that fracking is going to, quote, scorch the earth under our feet. The reality is not nearly as frightening. Deep under the earth's surface, gas shale released by blasting rocks with water and chemicals to create fissures has proven an unexpected economic and environmental bonanza as clean burning gas displaces coal and oil. America now imports only 40% of its oil, down from 60% about 7 years ago. Moreover, gas emits far less carbon and oil and coal, which is a key reason why Americans' carbon emissions stand at its lowest level in 20 years. Like virtually every kind of fuel, though, a gas acquired by fracking comes with an environmental cost. Fracking has been linked to small earthquakes, for instance, but the National Research Council this year said it was unlikely to cause an earthquake big enough to feel on the surface. And then it goes on to say where it's not a problem. All right, my response. The question is hydrofracking banned anywhere? If it's not bad, then it shouldn't be banned. France was the first country to have a national policy banning fracking. Since then, Bulgaria, Romania, and the Czech Republic have instituted moratoriums on fracking. And that was based upon scientific consensus. in May of 2012, this year, German scientists work with their government to place an indefinite hold on drilling any new wells, and the same is also underway in Austria. The province of Quebec, the government stated there will be no compromises on health and environment, and that the development of the shale gas industry must be done correctly, or it will not be done at all. Let's now look at specific governmental research on hydrofracking. From the House Energy and Commerce Committee, April 2011, revealed that the 14 leading hydrofracturing companies in the U.S. used over 2,500 hydraulic fracturing products containing 750 different compounds. More than 650 of these products contain chemicals that are known or possible human carcinogens regulated under the Safe Drinking Water Act, or listed as hazardous air pollutants. The grassroots environmental education movement, quote, horizontal hydrofracking for natural gas in the Marcellus Shale region of New York State has the potential to result in the production of large amounts of waste materials containing radium-226, radium-228 in both solid and liquid mediums, end quote. And that's a report from E. Ivan White, who for 30 years was a staff scientist for the Congressionally Chartered National Council on Radiation Protection. Radium causes cancer because it is treated as calcium by the body and can mutate bone cells, causing cancer and impact bone marrow. University of Buffalo study presented at the U.S. Geological Survey Conference in November 2010 found that uranium mixed with shale surfaces from Pennsylvania and western New York, and that fracking chemicals could mobilize the metal. Also discovered that uranium and the hydrocarbons were chemically bound. From the Environmental Working Group, 2010, fracking fluids contain 9,300% more benzene than diesel that from a single fracking well contaminate 100 billion gallons of drinking water. That's from one single well. Endocrine Disruption Exchange study of health risks in fracking chemicals published in the International Journal of Human and Ecological Research Assessment found 25% of fracking chemicals cause cancer, 37% of hydrofracking can disrupt the endocrine system, 40 to 50% of the chemicals could affect the nervous system, immune and cardiovascular systems, 75% could affect skin, eyes, respiratory system, and present flu-like symptoms. An example, in Texas, which now has about 93,000 natural gas wells, up from around 58,000 a dozen years ago, a hospital system in six counties with some of the heaviest drilling said that in 2010, that 25% of asthma rates for young children more than three times the state rate of 7%. Cornell study by Drs. Osman and Bamberger, January 2012, impacts on gas drilling on human and animal health, published in the Journal of Environmental and Occupational Health Policy, analyzed cases of affected animals, including cows, goats, chickens, horses, deers, birds, and cats, and koi, and llamas, and humans across six states, Colorado, Louisiana, New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Texas. Reproductive problems were most common, but other symptoms included upper respiratory issues, burning of the eyes, nosebleeds, diarrhea, vomiting, rashes, headaches, neurological problems. From the Oswald Bamberger warning, quote, without rigorous scientific studies, the gas drilling boom sweeping the world will remain an uncontrolled health experiment of an enormous scale, end quote. Duke University study, published by the National Academy of Sciences, April 2011, found that methane concentrations in drinking water in active gas drilling areas were 1,700% higher than in non-active areas. Methane concentrations in drinking water closest to active wells were considered, quote, potentially explosive hazards. Riverkeeper Report reviewed 100 environmental case studies in Pennsylvania, Ohio, West Virginia, Texas, Arkansas, and Colorado, and Wyoming, revealed well blowouts, surface water spills, groundwater contamination, air pollution, and liquid illegal waste management, far more common events than previously assumed. Cornell University Hydrofracking Study, March 2011, conclusion was that the shale fracking could have a greater effect on climate change than coal and oil over the life cycle of its production. The drilling in shale releases considerable volumes of methane, which traps 2,100% more heat by weight than CO2. Associated Press investigation, January 2011. Pennsylvania's fracking water treatment was unable to account for the disposal method of 1.2 million 8 barrels of wastewater, 20% of the annual total, and this seemingly was leaked into the Delaware Water Basin, which provides drinking water to 15 million people in four states. ProPublica's ongoing court investigations into fracking started in 2008 has documented over 1,000 court cases of water contamination in just five states alone and tracked the enormous campaign donations of the gas and oil industries given to members of Congress. In the United States Geological Survey report, quote, earthquakes, fault plates, tectonics, earth structure, the agency stated, quote, earthquakes induced by human activity have been documented in a few locations, United States, Japan, and Canada. The cause was injection of fluids into deep wells for waste disposal and secondary recovery of oil and the use of reserve reservoirs for water supplies. U.S. Geological Survey scientists concluded that fracking, when water, sand, and chemicals are injected into Earth's deep shell formations to break up rock and extract the natural gas, was the most likely cause for a growing increase in the number of earthquakes in recent years. And the British Geological Survey in 2012 found the same thing, as did geological and seismic reading scientific studies in Arkansas, Ohio, and Texas. Also, Food and Water Watch has shown the myth of 100 years' worth of natural gas. This view assumes that no place throughout the country is off-limits to drilling and assumes the estimates of gas reserves are accurate, which independent analysts show they're not. So that is just a response to Mr. Smith. There's a great deal of homework that is out there for you, and I would suggest you take a look at it. Now it's time for you. Our number on TalkBack is 888-874-488. Now, because I couldn't get to everything, on my final of the year Progressive Commentary Hour this evening at 7 p.m., I'm going to be taking a look at Naomi Wolf and her article on how the FBI, working with the White House and Wall Street and Homeland Security, cracked down on the Occupy, and though it originally said it was a peaceful demonstration, turned it into a terrorist watch. I'll also be dealing with 21 facts about America's decaying infrastructure and what we should do about it, fraudulent education reform in America, turning state legislatures into brothels for ALEC. So I have a hard-hitting end of year for tonight at 7 p.m., the Progressive Commentary Hour, the most downloaded radio program that we're ever in the United States. I will do it alone, no guest, 7 p.m., and I will open it up for your calls. Let's say hello to Luann Panessi. Let's get some calls on the line now at 888-874-488. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. Well, you were talking about these delicious recipes before, and I want to let you know I am enjoying the sandwiches that your daughter is making. And I got an email just this morning from a woman who said that you have created a whole new movement, Gary, without even knowing it. This woman is a single mom who's been listening for 10 years. She lives in Brooklyn, and she says, I do all I can to see that only organic food is served in my home. She said, my child uses soap and water, proper hygiene, doesn't watch TV, and I limit him on the computer to 1 hour a day. He's a good boy and has not been influenced by his peers in a negative way. But we are challenged monetarily. We really don't bring in a lot of revenue. So when we heard about the woman who was also poor, who came into your store to get a sandwich that your daughter Shelley made, and she made her this big super-sized sandwich, and she realized that not only does she have a super-sized sandwich, she can share it with another person because it could feed two people, or you could have two meals out of it. So I'm thinking to myself, what a great idea. And she started to super-size her own kid's lunch. She says, just out of curiosity, I tried four different sandwiches. She says, I was there on Saturday, and I got a bunch of new recipes. She said, I discovered that they're inexpensive, especially the hummus portobello mushroom sandwich, the vegetarian bacon, lettuce, and tomato, and the bacon is tempeh bacon. And so I got sprouted bread, a large tomato, a big sweet onion, handful of sprouts and microgreens, and mustard, with the homemade pickles and a big chunk of crisp romaine lettuce. She says, quite frankly, Gary, it is as big as any McDonald's super meal. And then I cut the sandwich in half. And she said, not only did my son love this, but he had half at lunch and half later on at his break. And all of his friends tried it, and they want their moms to do the same thing. And then she adds, I also tried Shelley's apple crisp. I admit I've had that too. She said, I took one bite at the register, and damn, she says, I finished the whole thing before I got home to Brooklyn. And she asks, why don't you invite her on the show to give out some of these recipes? And she wishes you all the best with a happy new year.
That's very nice. I will invite Shelley on. I intend in the new year to have one new gourmet vegan, gluten-free, healthy recipe per week with photographs so people see what it looks like and how to make it, to start increasing their way of eating. And I believe that we should be supersizing meals, including sandwiches at home, because supersizing with a tomato, organic tomato, and onion, and sprouts, and microgreens, that's exactly what we want more of in our body. They don't have the calories. There's all good, no downside, fills you up. And that's competing against those high meat, bacon, sausages, eggs, refined confection muffins that is out in the marketplace. So this way you can get sprouted bread so you don't have gluten and do it yourself. And I'm glad she did. All the best to her and anyone else who's going to start trying that. We're out of time. You can continue listening by going to the telephone at 832-280-0066, 832-280-0066. I want to take some calls now, but for regular stations, we have to say goodbye. But let's say hello, stay on, Luann. Let's say hello to Harvey from Berkeley, California. Hi, Harvey.
Hi there, and I just want to say Happy New Year to you and your wonderful audience, Gary. And about fracking, I believe that fracking's dirty little secret is that that is the way they get rid of toxic waste. It's a cheap, inexpensive way, and beyond regulatory, beyond regulation, to get rid of toxic waste from the petroleum and other industries. So it's not just about that they pollute. This is actually the vehicle of getting rid of the waste. And the four horsemen of the apocalypse, that's coal, oil, methane, which is natural gas, and nuclear, those are the fossil fuels. Those are dinosaurs. I believe it's time to get star-powered. It's time to get solar. Thanks, Gary.
All the best to you, Harvey from Berkeley. Let me add one thing that came to my attention from the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund and Thomas Lindsay. Here's what we are not told when it comes to fighting hydrofracking. We're told that hydrofracking is fine. It isn't. People are threatened by an activity that will injure them, and they work overtime to pass a law that bans the activity. Okay, so we have grassroots people out there doing that. Here's the missing piece of the puzzle. An affected corporation, a hydrofracking corporation, or an industry association, then sues the municipality, contending that the community cannot prohibit the state to do this because the state has already allowed it, and that the ban violates the rights of the corporation. The upshot of these movements is that the municipality, where we all got together at the grassroots level to ban fracking, then either repeals the ban or is bankrupted trying to defend it. Most likely, the insurance corporations for the municipality brokers a deal in which the municipality agrees not to enforce the ordinance against banning fracking in exchange for the corporation dropping its lawsuit. Well, day after day, issue after issue, community after community, this machine has been humming along happily for over 100 years, all under a structure of law so perfectly construed that very few understand how it actually works in practice. Now, under a structure of law that lawyers and law professors and elected officials and judges and established activist organizations call democracy, why the corporations are right and we as activists are wrong. The law as it stands is pretty straightforward. Communities are prohibited from banning what state governments allow. That's because our local municipal governments, the places where we live, have the status of children in the state, the parent, under a legal theory called Dillon's Rule. which means that state law on issues deemed to be of statewide concern legally overrides local laws. It means that communities can only do what the state legislature explicitly allows them to do, all of which is privately enforceable by the corporations in any given industry, who can use these doctrines to haul our communities into court. And it also means that by investing in the state legislature, a so-called right protected under the First Amendment in the U.S. Constitution, corporations can curb the actions of all communities in America within the state in one swoop simply by using state legislature to preempt all communities at one time. It, of course, gets worse. Federal and state civil rights laws treat discrimination against a corporation exactly the same way that the laws treat discrimination against racial minorities. Consequently, a community attempting to stop a corporation from engaging in a harmful activity like hydrofracking that the state has permitted is treated as odiously by the law as a community attempting to ban African Americans. It works this way because the law treats both corporations and minority members as persons for purposes of civil rights laws. Sometimes you just can't make this stuff up. Unfortunately for us, those doctrines have been the law of the land for well over a century. How we get to this place, it's simple. Corporations, the people who own and run them, have been very busy manufacturing a structure of law that insulates them from community control. They had a lot of help, of course, mostly in the form of our early constitutional drafters who made critical decisions that elevated property rights above democratic rights. And that structure created fertile grounds for the trading, energy, agribusiness, and waste corporations who then wrapped themselves in constitutional law while the rest of us struggled for long years trying to secure constitutional protections for ourselves, for women, for African Americans, for Native peoples, immigrants, gays. Now we're faced with a situation in which a corporate few possess greater legal and constitutional rights than the community majorities. Why do we almost never win against corporations targeting our communities? It's because we focus solely on trying to convince other people how bad an activity is and the need to ban it. Meanwhile, over at corporate headquarters, they're laughing at us because they patented the structure of law that is routinely used to preempt and nullify what we do. In short, they know they can always play the final card. So how do we change the rules? First, we need to understand our own history and that we're not the first ones to be faced with a game board that has no places for our peace. We need to understand how prior movements, when faced with a system of law that didn't recognize women or African Americans as people, successfully changed the rules of the game. We can then appreciate why traditional liberal and progressive and pressure politics have failed so miserably and why the natural environment is in worse shape today than it was prior to the passage of the seminal regulatory laws that environmental groups trumpeted. Second, we need to figure out which doctrines, what parts of the structure of the law itself, allow the corporation to do what it does, and what parts authorize our own state governments to enable the corporations to do what they do. And then we must use what we know to build a movement that dismantles that platform of law by collectively refusing to obey it. Indeed, widespread disobedience is the only thing that ever has been powerful enough to change unjust laws. And while we tend to think of civil disobedience solely in terms of laying down in front of a bulldozer, we must create a higher form, one that collectively harnesses the power of our municipal governments to turn them against the corporations or our own state governments and the doctrines that empower them. Simply put, we must occupy the law. 10,000 communities joining together to use their lawmaking powers to frontally and directly challenge the existence of those doctrines could ultimately liberate communities from the state-sanctioned rape that we've endured for over a century. And that grassroots disobedience to the functioning of the law must then stitch together a drive state and federal constitutional change that unrings the bell. If we don't, we better get accustomed to living on our knees. I'm Gary Nall. I thank you all for taking your time to listen today. Look forward to sharing more at 7 p.m. tonight. Let's now say hello to Utrice Lead, bringing in the new year by ending this one. Hi, Utrice.
Hello, Gary. We'll take one last look at this cliff. and we'll discuss the subjects of what events or stories had greatest impact for the year 2012 and why.
Great. We look forward to it. Utrice Lead coming next on the Progressive Radio Network.